Fashion Lab on cliffcentral.com.
Good morning and welcome to yet another episode of the Fashion Lab. My name is Lizo Gumba-Regisford, and on today's show we are going to be having an exclusive on the African style story and the madame behind it. Now, after Fashion Week, I got to meet a lot of really cool brands who are setting themselves apart while pushing their brand visibility and growth with so much passion. And the brand we're going to be talking to today and the person behind that brand is one of the people I actually met at the trade show. She's an amazing woman. I'll come to that. Now, the business behind fashion is so diverse. I feel like we never really get to share brand stories from conception to where they are right now, because 7 minutes or 8 or 9 or 10 is never enough for that. So based on the fact that there are so many stories, there's so many narratives around a lot of brands within the African diaspora, here's to a new beginning of fashion design exclusives, which we're going to be running once a month. If you're tuning into the show for the first time and have some input around the business behind fashion, or if you'd also love to join us on the show, email us at info@fashionlabafrica.com and we will respond. Now, we're on Twitter at FashionLabAF. Our lines are also open on 0861-555-189 for those of you in Johannesburg or South Africa. Our contributor and New York representative, Edgy Benson, will also be joining us on the show with echoes from New York. And we're also keeping in prayer Morwick Peterson, my co-host, and Nicola Cooper, our senior trend analyst, who are in recovery. We're sending all of our love and light and flowers. Keep your tweets coming, Fashion Lab AF. Share with us your thoughts. Another quick reminder is before the end of the show, the last segment of the show is called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? It is my favorite segment. So if you want to share with us, let's do that at the end of the show. We're also now just jumping straight into matters in hand. We are joined by our special guest, Carla Pinto. She's not just a fashion designer behind the brand labels An African Style Story and Ideas. I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, but she's also a brand consultant. One of her brand labels, An African Style Story, just debuted the Folklore collection at the SA Fashion Week 2016. Welcome to the show, Carla.
Thank you. Thank you, Liz, for having me. It's such a pleasure. And it was kind of an expected invitation, yes. But I'm feeling so, so happy to be here with you.
Now, before we even go on to anything, who are you wearing? What are you wearing?
African Style Story.
Very nice. It's beautiful. Could you just describe to our audience what you're wearing?
So this is a maxi dress. Actually, it's not from the Folklore collection. It's the other range that I have, which I use only traditional African fabric from Mozambique, and it's one of a kind. So each garment, it's unique and special, I hope.
I love it. So this is not from the Folklore. Which one is this? Ideas.
Sorry?
Is this Ideas? Which collection is this?
This is actually what I have been doing for the past, I think, 10 years now, because this is aligned with, you know, with my brand in Mozambique.
Okay.
Ideas Metro. And I decided to bring it because the last couple of days I've been working and showcasing more the Folklore collection, so this one
it's nice to wear on this day. Well, you look beautiful.
Thank you.
And obviously for our listeners who are tuned in, we're also going to share a tweet of what she's wearing, but more so I want to share a tweet of a link to the video that you just showcased at SA Fashion Week, so that everyone can just kind of get a look and feel and understand what the brand is about. Now, obviously, you're not just the fashion designer behind the brands. There's the African style story, and then there's Ideas
A Metro.
Ideas A Metro.
Which means more or less ideas per meter. Uh-huh. In Portuguese.
Very nice. Now let's start talking about, I mean, you're also a brand consultant. Let's start talking about your fashion background from conception. Where did this all start?
Okay, so my story is long. Are you ready?
I've got time, honey. I have got all the time in the world. Let's go.
Okay, so I think like 13 years ago, I had an opportunity to go to Mozambique and to launch a department of communication of a big company. So everything was, I was doing great in my, you know, I was a brand consultant at Interbrand. Everything was settled, and I said, okay, I think I'm going to Africa. I'm gonna try at least, you know, 2 years contract, and then we'll see. But once I got there, I immediately fell in love
with Africa.
I felt, you know, it's true. I literally fell in love, you know, with those amazing traditional African cloths. And I didn't understand why
nobody was using them.
How come no one was doing nothing with them? So I immediately saw an opportunity, and I think from the marketeer point of view, I thought, listen, I have to do something about it. So what I did was I quit my job and I joined my husband up north, and Nyasa, which is one of the most poorest province in Mozambique, and I started, you know, I started a clothing line. Of course, you know, I always loved fashion, but I don't know. My background was only, you know, from the consumer point of view. Nothing too serious. So I started, and I went to the local market, and I asked for the, you know, the best tailor in town. You know, up in the north in Mozambique, usually this kind of job, it's more, you know, for men. So
there's like more male tailors.
Yes, definitely.
Than the female.
There's no females, actually. So it's just men. And I ask, so who is the best tailor in town? And everyone said, Mr. Benjamin. I said, okay, so let's meet Mr. Benjamin. I met him at the market. He had like a small stall with his sewing machine, like a Singer sewing machine, and he was quite busy. And I said, listen, I know that you've got so many clients and you are the best in town, but I've got a job proposal for you. I don't want you to quit what you do. You just keep your business, but I would love to have you working for me, you know, from 7 to 3 every day. It's, you know, from Monday to Friday. And he said, yes, I think it's a win-win situation, so let's do it. And after Benjamin, you know, it came Batista, then Alfredo, then and it was a stage that, you know, like, yeah, I had like 6 tailors working, you know, from the porch of my house, and of course the business grew up so much that I had to make a decision. So I just transferred. I moved everything to the capital, which is Maputo, and then I had to find a business partner. It would be impossible if I you know, in order to, you know, to develop the business, I had to do that. So it was a tough decision, but I've been working with Nella from 10 years now, and I couldn't be happier. She of course we're not always agree, but she's always respect my ideas. I always respect ideas.
Is that your business partner, Nella?
Yes, she's still running the business in Maputo.
Very nice. And do you have a sort of workshop in Maputo that also runs while you're here?
Exactly. So she's the one in charge there. We've got a small shop that is also the workshop where our team is working, and so it's very convenient because people can come and, you know, they have like quick fixes, you know, alterations, whatever. They can even order what they want, and they can also buy. So that's where we are now.
I love the idea of also I mean, for listeners who are tuned in, especially the people who are building their business brands, what I love about what you're also doing is saying, look, I've got a base in Maputo, And when I move and, you know, move around into the continent and penetrate into other spaces, the business does not have to stop. So it's really cool. And I think that for me, that's one of the things that I can actually take away from, you know, your beginning journey of just building your business, your fashion business. Because a lot of people think that where you are is where business has to happen. And I think one of the things that we can do to be able to move ahead in the fashion business as African business brands is to get the whole thing of I live in West Pokot, or I live in the corner of Parktown North, and that's where I trade, and that's where I have my shop, and that's the end of the story. So I love the, you know, as much as we are talking and tapping into your journey, there's a lot of different elements or different tricks and tips that people can actually pull out to say, to realize that the world is a global marketplace, and you can't close business and only do business where you, where you're present. I think that's very cool. Now, in 2006, you conceptualized Ideas a Metro. And then in 2013, an African style story came to life.
Yes. So.
And that came to life in Johannesburg. Let's talk about how you built this brand. Because obviously when you started with the Diaz in Maputo and then you moved here to Johannesburg, what? How? Tell us about how. Where are these brands and how are they doing?
Okay. So after almost 8 years in Mozambique, my husband and I decided to have a break from Africa, in the sense that we really felt like we need to recycling, like, you know, like, and we wanted to study. So what we did was we went to the US. He went for a MBA full program, 2 years, and I went to study fashion design. So I didn't have, you know, any background in fashion. So I said, I'm going to take this opportunity to learn more about the business and the industry, and even the technical aspects that involve, you know, basic things, as you know, as how to cut or how to sew. So I didn't have that. So I was really keen, you know, to learn. And so we went to the US. We were two and a half years there, and then my husband had a job proposal to Johannesburg, and I was so happy, because I said, listen, this would be ideal, you know, because it's closer to Mozambique, and I can definitely start
practicing.
Yeah, and exactly. Very and nice. I immediately talked to my business partner, and I said, what do you think about, you know, launching a new clothing line that somehow would complement, you know, Ideas a Metro, and not to compete, but to complement, you know, to live side by side, and maybe for a little bit more, you know, upscale market, or even more commercial. But what do you think? And she said, let's go for it. I think it's perfect. And to be quite honest, it was the perfect solution for both of us, because now what's happening is that we feel like we are still partners, but we are so independent from each other. Like, I don't interfere in decisions in any you know, any part of the business of Ideas a Metro, and she doesn't interfere in African style story.
But so, are you partners?
Yes,
on both.
On both, yes.
But okay, can I also ask you why? Because obviously, I'm sure that, you know, sometimes as a designer, as you grow, some of the questions that come up is a lot of these brands that definitely split up and give birth to other brands. So you're one designer, but you've got all of these different labels. Like now, in your case, you've got the African style story that's happening. You got the Ideas a Metro also that's happening separately. But at the same time, it still comes from one sort of brainchild. What is the difference between these two brands, and why did you feel the need to have, what's the difference? Tell me about the product. Tell me about the lines, the price points. What is it?
If you look at Ideas a Metro, it's not from Carla Pinto anymore. You know what I mean? So what happened was with this change, Nella can actually, you know, reach a different audience that I wasn't reaching, and now with Ideias a Metro, I can build, you know, a brand that it's my face. It has everything to do with what I, you know, what I think it's right, the fashion that I want to do. So basically, it's like, you know, two separate, independent, and with different personalities, and that reflects on the brand. You know what I mean? So
tell me, is African Style Story, is it more of a higher does it reach out more to a higher target market when it comes to price points and the quality and the detail around the product? Or is it just, what I'm trying to also understand and establish is, like, would you have maybe then thought of saying I can be one brand and just push out different collections that speak different stories? Or is it
Is it a
price point? Is it a detail?
It's totally different brands. So what I think the only thing in common would be, like, you know, like Afro-inspired, of course. But what we wanted to do with the African Style Story, it's actually, you know, to, without being presumption, we want to reinvent the African print. So we want to give a fresh, different, you know, look for of the African prints. So we want to create prints that are exclusive, and then the sky is the limit. We want to translate those new unique prints to, you know, to very sophisticated fabrics, and that, I think it's what we really want to, you know, to achieve. With Ideias a Metro, it's very ethnical. So I think that it's less commercial. I think that it's more for a niche, a smaller niche. Mm-hmm. And we want to keep it like that because we definitely know that there's a market. And so even the prices, I would say that African South Story, it's a little bit more, you know, upmarket, but
still affordable.
Still affordable. That's what,
still easy.
Still easy. That's what we want. We don't want, you know, something that just a few people can have it. No, we really think that, you know, you should be wearing.
It has to be commercially viable.
Exactly.
It's what's the point of even
exactly
doing it? Tell me, Carla, what are some of your values as a brand? Let's talk about African Style Story.
So with this brand, we want to keep the made in South Africa, made in Africa, you know, thing going on. That is very keen for us, and sometimes it's so easy to, you know, to be tempted and go abroad and find, you know,
find a China,
okay. Much more affordable fabric, much more affordable
ways
labor.
Of producing, yeah.
So, but that's not what we want. From the concept point of view, it's we don't want to deceive people. We want to be very honest about what we do. So
you're 100% made in Africa. Basically.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
We want to support local suppliers. We want to support, you know, local label, that labor. Sorry, that's what we want with this brand. And once again, it goes aligned with what we have in Mozambique. We were actually the first clothing label to be awarded with the Made in Mozambique, proudly Mozambican label, and and we would love to have this here with this brand as well. Mm. So that is the fashion that we want to do. Mm. and we feel that makes sense.
And what other values would you associate with the African Style Story?
Innovation. Mm-hmm. Sophistication, exclusivity, responsibility, fair trade. So I think these are the main values for this brand.
It's very good. I think it's very commendable. And I say that because A few, maybe 2 weeks ago, someone sat down and asked me, Liz, what are your brand values? And I was like, which one? But the idea is to also be able to, I think as we grow as businesses, is to be able to really understand what drives us, understand our mission and stick to it. And like, I think that the vision board, people talk about vision boards and sticking it up so that every morning you kind of look at it and remember where you are, where you're going in your journey. And I don't put my vision board up because I always say it's in my head, but I just realized 2 weeks ago when someone was asking me a few questions that I just couldn't roll out of my tongue easy. And I thought, wow, from a business perspective, that means that if you have an investor sitting with you, they might just probably shy away. So I love the fact that you are very spot on. You're very aware of the brand and you're really passionate about it. I mean, I'm looking at your eyes and you're just glowing. There's all of this passion. It's like we're having chocolate and something right now. But anyway, with your mission and vision, what are you looking to achieve with African Style Story?
I think I would love to have everyone, you know, every woman wearing African Style Story. Not just because it's affordable, but because it's still unique and it is exclusive. And I think that there's so many, you know, so many big brands doing so well with, you know, working for masses, that this is not what I really want. I want to have people that really enjoys to wear what I do. So I
want to talk, sorry to cut you short, I want to also just talk about the folklore. Did I get it right?
Yes, folklore.
Gosh, I tell you, I thought I was so good with pronunciations. Yes, folklore. I want to talk about that folklore collection because obviously I ran into you backstage. We were on the same show slot and we were so busy we couldn't even see each other until the trade show, when we actually realized, oh, we were actually in the same slot. Tell me about the collection a bit. I mean, it was a very beautiful, easy, sort of had a very easy look and feel. I love the prints, and how they actually just play a small little hint of it. It's not overpowering. It's not overwhelming. I love the fact that, you know, it was very free. It was very easy. The fabric flowed so well. It had a sort of sophisticated look and feel to it. And during the trade shows, another thing I noticed is every woman from whatever age group came to your stand, literally. It could have been an 18-year-old, it could have been a 50-year-old woman, it could have been a mid-30s. So tell us about the collection, just a little bit about that collection.
Okay, so for folklore collection, as you mentioned, it was the debut collection. So what I really wanted for this collection was something that was, you know, personal. It had to be from inside. I had to feel like I was kind of going back to my roots in Portugal, and I search you know, from north to south, and once again I looked at the beautiful prints from the rural areas in up north in Minho, and I said it would be great maybe to kind of have a fusion between these traditional Portuguese prints with the traditional African prints, and that was you know, the starting point. So then it was just playing around with colors, with the viscose, and I really wanted for this spring summer collection, beautiful, you know, dresses that anyone can wear. It doesn't matter, you know, your figure, your body shape, it doesn't matter your age. They are sophisticated, they are versatile, but they are super, super comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I've got pockets on all my dresses. I really wanted it to be an easygoing collection. Like, yes, anyone can dress as.
I love it. Tell me, do you print any of your fabric? We talk about power. I talk about empowering the fashion business, and the fashion brands in the continent to start focusing more on, you know, that exclusivity when it comes to printing your own print, you know, so that you own your print. And I think it's really an empowering way of growing. It's a way of empowering yourself as a brand. And when you throw yourself in the midst of the global marketplace, no one then says, oh, there's that, that looks like my print. And, you know, all of that stuff and getting slapped with lawsuits you didn't even know came from which side. So with this collection, did you guys, do you also spend a bit of time to also produce some of your own prints, or do you just buy and incorporate into your planes?
No, we do everything from scratch. It's like from scratch. We actually have a meeting with our graphic designer. We give them all the inputs that we think that that we want for the collection. We have some sketches and we discuss about it. So it's really you know, from zero to what you see. What happened was, a few years ago, after I had Ideias a Metro for a while, I've started to notice that everyone was kind of, you know, like starting to work with the African prints, and I said, this is gonna be boring. Like,
you're gonna have a "who stole my look" moment on the runway. You're like, oh, but you bought it from the same guy.
Exactly. So that was actually my wake up call when I said, okay, so this is so easy to copy, and from then on, I thought, okay, I'll definitely have to switch
to
gears
rearrange.
Here. Yeah, no, I need to do something like very exclusive, you know, and I think, you know, digital print, it's here for everyone. Mm.
It's not the most affordable way, but
it's not.
But it's there. And like you said, as a brand, you have to get to a stage where you say, we are going on this way. If you need to get an investor or whatever it is, you need to. Anyway, we are talking to Carla Pinto about her fashion business journey with African Style Story as one of the main brands we are really focused on. This is an exclusive with her. We are hoping that as you tune in and as you listen, you can be able to learn a few things or go home with a few tips or just get a better understanding of how people are actually making this thing work from a business perspective, because we are the show behind the business of fashion. We want to make sure that whatever we're doing is actually helping us just not develop our own brands, but also develop our economy and our space. I mean, this is Africa. So keep it locked. Our lines are open on 0861-555-189. We're also on Twitter at FashionLabAF. If you want to share some comments, you're welcome to. We'll be right back after the break.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
I patiently waited for you for 9 months. I would sit in my chair and talk about how I longed to meet you. I knew you'd be the most beautiful baby in the world. I was ready for you, but I wasn't ready for this. If you have a child in need of reconstructive surgery, Smile Foundation can help you. Visit www.smilefoundation.co.za or call us on 0861-276-453.
Download the Cliff Central app, available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
This is the Fashion Lab, and we hold it down here every Thursday, 1 to 2 p.m. Central Africa time. We're talking to Carla Pinto about an African style story. She's obviously showing us some of her really, interesting ways of how she's been through this journey, how she's been doing her business, her brands, how she split it up, and how she was able to get sub-brands out of her brand and just kind of move on. And, you know, her innovativeness, we've shared some of her values, and I think it's very cool. She was awarded the first clothing line label awarded with a Made in Mozambique, Proudly Mozambican, as you heard her say, by the Trade and Industry of Mozambique. She's run for the fifth consecutive year as a nominee to the Portuguese Faz Award, which as the sponsorship of the Portuguese President's Office is a big deal, you know. She's definitely focusing on expanding their range products to uniforms for hotels, restaurants, and schools. She's done a lot of stuff. So I think We're definitely going to commend her. Congratulations for all the work, Carla, that you're doing. And we wish you all the best with this line. I just want to find out from you as we continue this conversation. We're about to plug in our contributor and representative from New York. But before that, what are some of the target markets? Where is the press? Where can we feel this African style story? Where is it present? Where are some of the, or which countries or which spaces are you targeting to actually get the brand present if we look at 2016, 2017?
Okay, so as a debut collection, I've chosen, you know, South African Fashion Week as I thought what I would thought to be, you know, the best marketing platform to launch a new clothing line. So from that point of view, I couldn't be happier with, you know, with feedback. That's what you want when you're launching a brand. It's all about feedback, and I was so happy with everyone feedback, even the less good ones. You know, I can learn from that. I can see, I can understand why this, you know, some comments that are not so good, and but from the overall, you know, the feedback, it was amazing. I had the press, the buyers, the general public responding very well to the new range, and so I think from now on I can definitely make a better decision, you know, about strategy and about how do I want to place my product. And I had a few very interesting contacts from, you know, from some buyers, from stores, from online platforms, and I'm definitely now, you know, paying attention to all the contract details, etc., and to actually start, you know, to resell the brand here in South Africa.
Are you producing in Mozambique? Do you also have a setup here now?
Yes. So so everything is produced here. So I work with in outsource with a factory. So there's everything is made in South Africa.
Okay. And any challenges with the production?
Because it was a new country for me, I couldn't start as I started in Mozambique with my own staff. So this was kind of the shortcut to actually be covered from the production point of view. Mm-hmm. So I think once again I was very lucky with a factory that, you know, that I've chosen,
based in Johannesburg as well.
Based in Johannesburg. Okay. And for the international market, I would definitely try the US. That is one of my, you know, my first
target market.
Yeah, definitely. And Mozambique, of course, it's easy and it's a natural market for me. So Portugal, let's see what happens with Portugal.
Come on, I'm sure Portugal will take the stuff and chew it over and like swallow it up.
No. It was amazing. Like a month ago, we went to Portugal for the Portugal Fashion Week, and it went very well. But it's still a very, you know, a small market. We are a small country. And the fashion industry, it's also struggling.
It's struggling, but Carla, you've also proven to them who you are, the worth that you have, and the knowledge that you have in this business. And therefore, I have no doubt that you getting some sort of stockists or buyers in Portugal should not even be, that probably could be just your, oops, I forgot, here, take the clothes. And I'm sure they'll take it with three hands. But because you've been around, you've shown them, I think you've really done amazing. And another thing I have to commend you for is that doing business in a market that's not your market is not an easy goal. So obviously we have to commend you for taking the courage and also just the the determination to get into it and to say, you know what, this is who I am, this is the story, and we're going with it. Make way for Africa style story. Carla Pinto, here we come. So now we're going to plug in Edgy so that we can also pick his mind. But before we do that, do you have a tip you can share with African brands that are starting up today?
I don't know if I'm the right person to do it, but
everybody has something they do that work for them. And
yes. Now it's just, I think that I think you should stay humble. I think it's one of the best tips that I can. That
you mean humble in this lion den in Africa? Are you serious? Like humble? Yes, do you not think the lions, the other bigger lions, will eat us?
Liz, let me explain why. Because you are not right. You know, sometimes you made a wrong choice, or you know, you're taking your brand to a place that it's not a good place, and you have to be humble enough to you know, to actually admit that okay, I failed, and to ask for help. So that's one of the things that I think you should keep in mind. It's to I'm not saying that you should just let everyone to step
over your head,
but you have to be humble.
I agree.
All the time.
I agree. It's a very it's a beautiful point, and I think it's nice that you also kind of opened it up, because I think that feeling like people feel sometimes, I think one of the problems also in the continent is people start something and then they think they've arrived. That's the problem. When we are so far away, we haven't even, the bus hasn't even passed. So you can't even say you are on the bus. I mean, let the bus pass and you jump on the bus. At least then you can now act like you've arrived. But anyway, that's just a nice tip from Carla. Now we are going to be joined right now by Edgy Benson. And we have been looking forward also, obviously. Edgy Benson is our contributor, and he's also a partner in the Fashion Lab, kind of like our representative from the New York side of life. And Edgy also works in the industry. He's got a fashion service company based in New York called NU New York, which offers manufacturing concept and pattern development. He's also worked with design houses in the world, such as Vera Wang, Chloe Bilblas, Kate Spade, and has worked with stores like Harrods, London, Saks, and Colette Paris. And he's, just to mention a few, he's joining us on the show. Edgy Benson, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Liz. How are you guys?
We are fine. Can you not see?
it's been wonderful. Carla, you are so amazing, though.
Thank you.
And how are you, Edgy?
Thank you so much.
I'm fine. I've just been so engrossed with this line since yesterday.
Yeah.
And to hear Carla talk about it, it's really fascinating. I have to congratulate you. I think your efforts have been amazing, and all the things that you have accomplished. Given the fact that you trusted Africa and you brought so much to it, thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
She trusted the lions and she came into the den, and no lion chewed her and took away her arms. So she looks beautiful too. She's a beautiful spirit as well. But
I love the dress she's wearing right now.
And thank
I think
you.
Like, what really fascinates me about Carla's work is the fact that she is able to achieve Africa the way we've always wanted it, to hint it without pushing it down people's throats, you know?
Yes.
And she's got this really cool juxtaposition of Western and African prints. The way she plays the prints, they are not intimidating at all. It makes the line accessible to everybody globally. So I think that's a huge achievement. It's something that we always prayed that we would do as Africans, like subtly sell Africa without pushing it down people's throats, where they think, well, am I African enough to wear it? Can I carry it? But you make Africa very wearable, very accessible. So
thank you so much.
That is wow. Great. You know?
Ed, thank you by association. I'm here with her, so any compliment she gets, I'm like, yes, thank you. I'm taking the back end of it.
And, you know, another thing is that, you know, the way that you, I like the way that you focused on what is available in terms of the assets, in terms of the skills there, you know, and you brought all these guys together, and then they work for you, like you're helping to create belief in their skills also, and then helping to grow those skills. So I really, really like that. And then the way that you are able to, between the African life story, African style story, and the Idios Metro, they are so different, and you're able to define these two lines so well. Idios Metro is so curated and so couture and very African, actually, very deeply African, you know? And then African life story is more accessible. The shapes, the silhouettes are more flirty. So I think you've done a fantastic job.
Thank you so much. Ed.
Another thing I want to add on, Edgy, while you're saying that, and you know, and giving her and making her feel nice and putting her little on a little higher stool. I'm gonna push the stool higher by just saying that one of the other things that I also really want to highlight on her journey is the fact that a lot of people in Africa, or like brands and designers in Africa, are dying to go somewhere else to do what they do, but they're dying to go somewhere else saying that this is not here. Look at how she met Mr. Benjamin. She just went into town. First of all, she's not even from here. So coming in and asking for Mr. Benjamin, and you're not even from here, from Maputo, looking for Mr. Benjamin in the streets of Maputo is quite a step. And things like identifying the fabric from the north, and like you said, you arrived into Africa and you just thought, oh my gosh, look at this print, what to do with it. People are here, you can see brands are here, and there's a lot of brands who, not necessarily, brands don't all have to use print, but I'm just saying there's a lot of resources that we have locally available in Africa that I still feel we have not tapped into and exploited. And that is why the rest of the world is exploiting it, and we don't even know and we don't even realize. So I'm one of those lovers of what we have locally, and I'm one of those people who say, I'm going to look around me and I'll have to make sure that by the time I'm telling my story, if I can't do it out, it's okay. I've got enough to start with here. So Mr. Benjamin and whoever else, and then the fabric, and then whatever, as long as you have a vision and you have a mission and you have a business drive, and you understand that you're actually in a business, I think with all of this, you should be able to, I mean, the sky is the limit. I don't know. What do you think, Edgy?
Well, to be honest, yeah, I think what she has done has shown that Africa is just, we have these rudimentary skills, you know, like the core skills, you know? So if you can find a way to tap into them, you know, they're there, you know? So we have to believe that we have the skills. We have to find a way to assemble them just like she did. And, I mean, she's achieved a lot. And everything is local. I mean, that is fantastic, you know. So, yes, absolutely.
Do you feel you heard her saying that she would love to also penetrate into the U.S. market? You, as Edgy, who has a fashion services company and works with all of these brands and spaces, from manufacturing to development to everything, do you feel like her Africa's style story stands a chance in the U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, it is. Totally speaking from a U.S. perspective, when I say it's accessible, it sells Africa right, it hints at Africa without pushing Africa down your throat. I think it's a good way. I think the line would sell. You know, normally you would say, well, you have to go and sell in Harlem, which is very deeply African. But this line you can sell in.
We can sell in.
You know, so you can sell it in Harlem on Fifth Avenue, you can sell it on Broad Street in London, you can sell it anywhere. I think she really has done a great job of selling Africa right.
Thank you.
It's a very simple line. This is like, it's a really, really simple line, but it needed to be right there.
Wow. Thank you, so Edgy, for that feedback. I want us to go into who you want to dress and why. But before we go into the last segment, Carla, could you just share with us where we can reach you, either on social media or website, or anyone who wants to connect with you today?
Okay, so I'm a one-man show, right? So I try to do it all, and then sometimes I'm not that good with social media, although I know that digital, it's a state of mind. You have to think digital. I'm kind of obsessed now with Instagram. So if you want to just go to my Instagram, which is My African Style Story. So you just have to add my before African Style Story. Of course, my email is there. My Facebook page is there. Just contact me, and I'll be thrilled.
She'll be there. Only business, please. Thank you. And Edgy, thank you so much for joining us with the Echoes from New York. We're going to just go straight into who would you want to dress and why. And I think we're going to start with you today because you're the man in the house. Who would you want to dress and why?
I think who I want to dress and why, totally got. After looking at Idios Amitro, I thought maybe it's a good way, because I think she really has this curated African look with this Idios Amitro, even though it's a little bit so different from African Style Story. But that inspired me to maybe say, well, to look at African designers who are really so pure with in the way that they make African clothes, like Diola Segoa and the rest of them, to say, look, this is a great story, what Carla has done. So it's not about who I want to dress.
Right? No, it is about, hi, Edgy, it is about who you want to dress and why. This is that segment called Who Do You Want to Dress and Why? Says the madame.
Yes, I see. Well, I'll say I want to dress every African woman in beautifully curated African clothes, just like Carla has done and just like you have done.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. And Carla, who would you want to dress and why?
That is a tough one.
No, come on. I'm sure there's people you look at and you're like, I want to dress who I want to dress. Or the people you've never probably met, but you know, you could want to dress them to save their lives because they need help, or you might just want to dress them to, you know, to just dress them because you want to dress them. I don't know.
Okay. I think, can I say like Stella McCartney?
Okay. And why?
I don't know. It's just something about what she does that that speaks to me. I'm not that obsessed with the international big brands, and especially this one that I think I could never afford. Maybe she's one of those ladies that she has this amazing, father that everyone knows, and she has done a lot, for herself and for a brand. So I think I kind of admire her, and I love what she does. She does beautiful, very elegant, and in a way effortless, design clothes that I really like.
Okay, I would want to dress today Carla Pinto herself, because I've been looking at her, Edgy. I've been checking her out for the last 2 weeks. And every time I see her, she would walk in. Every day she walks in with her brand, like I do with mine. And I'm like, gosh, where's the day she's wearing jeans where I can just walk up to her and say, hi, can you just wear my piece or my boo-boo dress or something for the next event? So I think she's got a beautiful body. I think she's got a beautiful soul. I think she's got grace. And I love the fact that grace is not something very easy to find these days. Like common sense that used to be common and now it's not so common. It's very rare to find grace in women these days. So I think I would want to dress you, Carla, because I think you would carry my look my pieces really well, like, and cool. really represent the Liz O brand.
Thank you.
That is so cool.
Is that so cool or what? Anyway, it's been really nice having you onto the show, Edgy. It's also been great having you, Carla, on this show. This was a beautiful exclusive. And like I said, the whole purpose of this is to be able to run something like this once a month with a designer exclusive, just to be able to really listen to the narratives that are going on around these different amazing brands that are well thought after, well thought over and well designed and well curated. But then we really never hear the other story or the backstory. All we hear is, yeah, I just showcased and then that's it. So it's been beautiful having you on the show. We wish you all of the best in your fashion journey. Is there any last tips in the house for those who are looking to start their fashion businesses today? Maybe from you, Edgy?
I would say look within where you are, just like Carla did, and just like you do, Liz. Find assets within your environment, within your locality, and start from there.
Wow, I love that. Look within where you are. I hope that somebody's taking notes. We're going to put that up so that we put that as our post of the day. But thank you so much, guys. And thank you to all of our listeners who are tuned in. Keep it locked. Continue to build your brands. Continue to pay more attention to the things that we don't really pay attention to, because those little things are the things that will set your brand apart and give you some growth in your business. Thank you for listening. We're on www.fashionlabafrica.com. Peace and love until next week.
Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.